Good morning, Elsie.
Good morning. Are we here?
I am. It sounds like you're in a hologram. I have no response to that.
I probably am. And hopefully, you know, in post-production, it won't be so bad. But welcome, everybody. Elsie's back in the crappiest internet in the world.
Yep. Thank God for nothing. She's back in North Carolina where internet doesn't exist in her neck of the woods. I kind of know how you feel only because mobile cell service doesn't, it doesn't exist in my neck of the woods. Like, the one neighborhood I chose to live in is the one that has no cell service. So we have like a mobile tower and all this bullshit. So I kind of know how it is. Not exactly, but kind of.
Yeah. So it really sucks. I'm okay. I'm all right. Yeah. Except that, I mean, before we start, we have to acknowledge the world sort of going into chaos. I mean, hurricanes.
You want to just come right out bearing with hurricanes.
Yes, hurricanes and fires, like huge fires all over the place in the West. And then
no exchange of pleasantries,
straight into natural disasters. And also, you know, waking up to like a massive earthquake in Mexico. So there's that.
But
what's next? What's left?
You didn't wake up shit.
No, what I'm saying is that there's lots of people who are in need of help. Like, I just thinking like, oh my God, there's so many people right now that
are. I think what you're saying is the apocalypse is coming.
Or maybe that
and
this
it's going to kill us all.
Maybe. So just, you know,
how
thinking
do you
about
feel,
everything.
Do you feel guilty when other people are dealing with hurricanes, fires, and earthquakes and you're nowhere near any of those things? Well, you're kind of near the earthquake. That could affect you. No, not really, because you're too far west.
I'm actually near to Hurricane Irma, which at the time of this,
maybe
I might have a little bit more clarity around what's happening and how it hits.
I'm hoping it'll slow down by the time it gets to you. But plus, you're very far west to be bothered by a hurricane, don't you think? Or no?
The eye of the tropical storm is supposed to go right over her house.
Oh shit! Really?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's what
Still,
I'm saying.
Still, it's the eye. That's the good part.
That's the eye.
The eye is the good part. You'll just get a little rain.
Were you missing in school when they did weather? The eye is where all the wind and everything is.
That's a tornado.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. Well, the thing is, I can't really comment because until it happens.
The good part, I thought.
When we experience it, well, no. Whatever it is, because we don't know at this moment.
Hold on. Was I missing? Hold on. Now I have to look.
Oh, my God.
Eye of hurricane. I have to say that as far as science goes, I only really did well in chemistry, biology and geology and geography. Those things I didn't do so good.
Well,
Richard Branson remains on private island as he faces the eye of the hurricane. Okay, so maybe it's bad.
No, well, but the thing is that all I'm saying is that by you guys listening to this, there might be a lot of people that have gone through whatever they've gone through. And because it doesn't look too good, especially for all our friends in Florida at this moment.
I was just going to say, this is the first hurricane where, I mean, I love so many people in Florida. We know so many people in Florida right now. Like, so many of the podcasters are in Florida that we know and love well. And I really hope they're okay. I would like to actually post something on Facebook that I'm praying for them and rooting for them, because that's scary. I mean, it's scary when you have one cousin in Miami and one friend in Miami, but it feels scarier when you're like half the podcasting population that you're in love with lives in one place.
Yeah.
Well, John Lee Dumas made out okay. He was in
Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico, and it went by him and he made it. He was okay.
That's because his house is made of invisible brick and steel traps and
it completely missed the island. Like, it was, I mean, not in terms of like that there wasn't any wind and there wasn't any rain and stuff, but
it didn't miss Puerto Rico.
Yes,
people
it
died
did
in Puerto Rico.
Yes, it did. It missed the actual, if you look at what the trajectory was, is that it just literally went by it next to it so that they only got sort of like the outskirts. So it missed it.
I'll tell you what, I was in New York for a day and it's like I have no concept of anything that's happening now because of one day. I know nothing now.
Right. No, we'll see. Yeah, so that it missed Puerto Rico, but the islands that it did hit, it completely devastated, as in like Richard Branson lost his home.
Oh, no.
And it is destroyed, and 90% of one of the islands, I forgot the name of, it starts with a B, is 90% of the structures are destroyed. It is completely devastated, the entire island, all of it.
It's nothing to mess with. You know, you got to get out of the way.
Yeah. So this is huge. And that's what I'm saying in terms of the way that it's fluctuating. It seems like it's going straight up the middle of Florida. Like, whoop, like straight up, like a cone.
How's it going? Whoop.
Whoop. That's right. But hopefully, you know, and then it seems like one of the women that we were talking about, with,
oh my God, these videos in Turks and Caicos are scary as shit.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's not. Oh my it's God. Really bad stuff. So I'm
well,
sorry.
Now
for
I'm
the,
catching up.
Yeah. So if it comes out here, guys, on this is on Monday.
Oh,
hope you guys
it's
are
going
doing
right
all
for
right.
the entire bottom of Florida. The entire.
Yeah, yes, no, dude.
No man is safe on the tip of Florida.
No.
And then what happens? It won't show me anything past that.
It just keeps going straight up the state, all the way up to. Basically, the southern.
Oh, damn. All through the whole thing of Georgia.
Yep.
Oh, my
Kentucky.
God. You're right. It's coming right for you.
Yes.
It's not even. Well, see, so normally they're on the coast. I didn't expect it to be like land bound like that.
Yes. That's why we won't really know until later on
scary.
To see exactly
gonna,
how it's
How
going
will
to.
You know if you have to evacuate, Elsie?
I don't think we're going to be evacuating because it's probably
going
to. Why not?
The Keys were evacuated.
Well, because the Keys are being hit by a. Dude, it's going to be a tropical storm, but it's just a matter of how strong it's going to be. It's the strength of it. I don't think that this is not evacuation mode, but we are in a, like, how do you say it? An emergency, state of emergency.
State of emergency, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, state of emergency in North Carolina as well as South Carolina. And the lake that's very close to our house is being,
Nashville,
how do you,
Birmingham.
It's being emptied out. By, I think,
what?
Five.
What? They're draining it?
They're draining about 5 feet, I think, of the lake to prepare for the storm because they're expecting a lot of water.
So Sunday morning, it's hitting the Keys, and then Monday, it's coming right for Tampa, and then Tuesday, it'll be up in Georgia, and then Wednesday, Nashville. But hopefully by then the winds will only be like 30 miles an hour. So it looks like your part is between 45 and 30 miles an hour, which isn't that bad. But Tampa is fucked. Looks
yeah,
like.
And it looks Miami like is fucked. So much of that is. So I just want to say sorry to everybody and hope you guys are all safe. And
run!
Well,
Don't
I think that they.
Be brave.
They're probably. Yeah. But
Run
I wanted
away.
To tell you yesterday just a really quick Forrest story Gump. Of we met a woman who is sort of hosting some of her friends that are coming from Florida, and it took them 20 hours to get to Georgia.
Oh, my God. And they're still going to be screwed.
Yeah. So
it's not better there. Well, if anyone wants to come up here to Philadelphia, I'm happy to host you.
I think that the problem is that the freeways are getting out are really...
Feel free to fly here, you Floridians. If you can hear me, I'm open to you. Come on in. I love having company. There's a lot of people here this weekend for Podcast Mid-Atlantic, MapCon, because we're, even though you guys are listening on a Monday, we're recording on Friday, and I get to see Harry Duran and John John. I get to hug my John John, which I'm excited about. Not till 9:30 tonight, though, because he's a slacker. And, who else is going to be here? Davey Jackson, obviously Joe Pardo, Mark Asquith will be there. I don't know who else. I didn't list any ladies. I don't know. Ramona, I think.
Ramona, yeah.
Ramona Rice, Amanda Doherty's going to be there.
Oh, Amanda. Oh, she's not staying with me this time.
Oh, and your buddies, the fish guys are coming up. One of the fish guys.
Oh my God, Clay Groves. Yes! I'm going to give that cat a huge hug.
Brace yourself, Clay.
Why?
Just because it's going to be a huge hug.
Oh, I'm short, so it doesn't leave that big of an impact. You should know that. What am I, hugging your knees when I see you, John? You got to be sitting down for it to make any kind of effect.
Okay.
John is like a, he is another one of our friends, Elsie, that's like a tree. I mean, I tell you he's tall, but then when you see him, it's still a shock. Well, you're, I guess you're not that tall. It's like Jonathan Oakes. Are you taller than Jonathan Oakes, John? Do you know?
I don't know. We haven't stood back to back yet.
Oh.
Although I was shocked with the video from Podcast Movement of Elsie, how tall and how long Elsie's legs are. She's got, she's all legs and no body.
He was telling me, Elsie, he's only seen you from the neck up.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, when he saw you jumping off the stage, remember when I called you a gazelle?
Yeah.
He thought the same thing. He was like, Jesus Christ, she has no torso. She's all arms and legs like a spider. I'm like, yeah, she's a spider. She's like a human spider.
She stepped off a 3-foot stage and her waist never moved. Her leg went right down to the bottom.
I know.
It was like she was on stilts.
It's totally true.
You guys, I am not that tall.
So then I sent him pictures of us standing next to each other on the red carpet. And he was like, yep, she's a skinny.
Very tall.
So tall and thin. Are you taller than both your parents? You are.
No, I'm not taller than my dad. But I was wearing, you have to remember, I was wearing big heels. My dad is 5'9". I'm 5'5" actually. I'm not that tall. I'm 5'5". I'm totally below average, actually.
You're not 5'5". You're taller.
Yes, I am.
I'm 5'2", and there's at least 4 inches between us.
Then you must have been wearing 5-inch heels.
Well, that night I was.
Actually, she was. She was.
That night
she had yellow, she had lemon yellow heels on. They were the hottest shoes ever. Nothing can compare to her outfit that night. She was so beautiful. Truly. And you did, the more I see that picture of you accepting your award, the more, yeah, you do look like you're about to start singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. It's true. Because you look, only because of your face, you look very serious.
Yeah, totally white.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. So true. So was that all you wanted to say about I don't mean to diminish the importance.
I just wanted to say, I just wanted to say that we're thinking about everybody. And I know that there's a lot of people out there. And then if you guys want to, you know, send in some feedback about your experiences, we'll be happy to, you know, play it and on the show. And if you need anything or you want to let the community know, you're welcome to send some feedback in. We'll share your experiences,
and if there's ways to help too in the aftermath and you want us to broadcast that, please tell us what to say. And we're happy to, you know, Houston, like I've posted a couple times about, you know, sending diapers to Houston. And if there's like stuff that you guys need in the aftermath, please let us know and we'll talk about it on the show and certainly post in our group too.
Absolutely. And it does help if you like clarify, because it's, yeah, there's so much information out there. It would be really great to come from you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because I remember having a conversation with somebody at the Luau Podcast Movement about that. He was like, I think he mentioned something like, you know, my state is getting hit by the largest hurricane ever in the whole entire world. And he was kind of worried, but kind of not, because I think that at that moment we weren't really understanding the scope of it. And I just thought like, oh my gosh, now thinking back, like it's so weird that we were just somewhere else, like not thinking about any of this stuff just a little while ago. And our, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody that has been impacted by the hurricanes and by the fires in the West Coast, and also the earthquakes that are happening or has happened in Mexico. So that is it.
So before we get into the news or our next segment, I just want to mention SaneBox as our sponsor for this episode. SaneBox is something that I actually have been pitching, and then I went to try it out because I'm always being between the newsletters and the shopping stuff. Like I like to get newsletters from or, you know, when my favorite stores have a sale, like I was drowning in email. And so SaneBox is something that helps you like organize it all. So I did, they have a 14-day trial. So I did it and it's amazing. It is so cool that, like, first of all, I instantly knew what was important to me and what wasn't. And then it put other folders, an archive, late, like what you can deal with later, what the newsletters are, if nobody has replied to you, stuff that's not spam. I don't know why it has a not spam folder, but then it has like a black hole. So if you put something in the black hole, you'll never see it again, like that kind of stuff. It's really cool to organize your email if you always feel like you're drowning in email. Some of the podcasters that I wanted to do a spot for them were like, I'm afraid to have folders because then I'll never see my stuff. But you do, because you only see the important stuff. And then you're like, well, where's all my shopping stuff, or where's all my news? And so you do actually go in it and look at your stuff. So people think that you don't, but you do. And you do have to train it a little bit. Our URL is samebox.com/shep. And there's actually a cute little greeting. It says, if you sign up for your free trial, you'll get $20 towards a Samebox subscription. It's totally worth a shot for both the trial and the subscription. Give it a shot for 2 weeks. If it does not make your email life easier, then I will eat my hat live on air. I'll just eat the hat. Elsie gave me 2 world-class podcasters hats, and I will eat one. I will full-on eat one. All you have to do is tell me you tried it and you hate it, and I'm going to eat my hat on live air. I swear it's that good. It's so good. It's samebox.com/shep, 14-day trial, and then $20 towards your membership. And let us know what you think. I'm curious to know what you think anyway. I think it's awesome. At least give it a shot, yo. Give it a shot, yo. Okay. And so now I guess it's time to talk about the news you can use.
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
Yay. Right now, I just kind of want to give a shout out to Ray Ortega for his really awesome video that he put out about podcast movement.
Yeah.
It was a really nice, and I think the reason that I put it actually here is because it made me want to do something like that. I thought it was very well done. It was very personal. It had a lot of flair to it, but at the same time, it was really, it just really highlighted his experience in a really wonderful way, that it was about him, but it was also about podcast movement. And it made me want to create something like that myself. And I thought, holy cow, this guy worked his butt off to make this video happen. I mean, it was like, I think it was ended up being about 7 minutes. And that means capturing video every single day. It means essentially what I saw every time I saw Ray, he had his camera going the entire time. I can't imagine how much stuff he had, how many hours of video he had, and then he had to snip all of that together to create what he did. So hats off to you. You guys, there's going to be a link in the show notes because it was just so lovely, and maybe someday I'll be able to do something like that in the future because it really made me happy.
Oh my God.
What?
So in order to watch the vlog, you go to, okay, so here's what just happened while you were talking. I went to the YouTube, I watched a little bit of video. The show notes in YouTube says, I traveled to Anaheim to speak at Podcast Movement 2017. This is the vlog and this is the kit I used to film it. Then you go to kit.com, which I guess helps you curate things. You can show people like what you use to do a project.
Oh, cool. Like,
it's not. Yeah. So I went to the kit. This is all the gear I use for vlogging with the Sony A6500. All links are affiliate links. Buy all on Amazon. I go to purchase it on Amazon. The camera is $1,400. And then the lens is $1,200. And then there's another lens for $400 and a shock mount for $300. And by the time you're done, here, I'm just going to put it all in my cart and then have a heart attack. Wait. $5,000 for all that stuff. Five, because he had a gorilla. He has a wind cover. He has a tripod and an SD card and at least 4 different lenses. But still, that is an extremely cool. The kit thing is really cool.
That's awesome.
It's a gorgeous video. I mean, the camera is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's probably worth that because I bought I have a Nikon D80. It's kind of old now, but it was like $1,500 without the lens. It's painful, but when you do pro photography, that's what it costs, I guess.
It's amazing stuff. I mean, it's like it is quite an investment to do that. It's not something that you decide, hey, I'm just gonna buy this and try it out.
How did he film himself like getting coffee and stuff though? You know,
I don't know. I think he had a.
I mean,
I don't know.
It seems like he has his own freaking camera crew, but he didn't.
No, he did it all himself. And I think that there were a couple of shots what somebody else like held. You know, like when, oh, actually, you know what shot was really fun? But I don't know if you saw the whole video, but there's one where like the camera is really low, which you could see that it was on the floor, like it or something low. And then you have like, I know that it was Ray and I know it was Daniel Lewis. And there were two other guys. And I'm sorry, other guys, if I can't at this moment remember who you guys are, because I know you, but I can't remember. And it was like them walking towards the camera, looking like they were, you know that everybody walking towards the camera shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, here. Oh, yeah. That's the guy from Ivy. Yeah. That's my Corey Finneran, yeah. Harry Duran. And now I see Chris Curran. Yeah. I don't know that dude.
No, there was only four of them. It was towards the end. They're walking.
Oh, they're walking together?
Yeah, they're walking together towards the camera, like towards the camera, as in like a long shot. But it's at the end, towards the end. And I thought, like, that was awesome. So,
oh, like they were vigilantes of podcasting.
Yes, exactly. Like that that quintessential shot that you see in a lot of different shows.
Yeah, he was very creative. I wish I'd have thought of it. I do. And I wish I could do something like that, too. But I don't have $5,000 for equipment. But,
no, but it took a lot of work.
But we have Jack. I mean,
what do you mean we have Jack?
That's why we have Jack Blake.
We have Jack.
Jack Blake is the cutie booty who
Jack
did our live show.
Blake. Is that his name? It totally fits.
Yes.
Jack Blake. The
it is.
Super.
He's cowboy.
Bond.
Yeah.
Bond. The young Bond.
He's like 22, but he's like, yes, so he's cute. Adorable, tall, tan, brilliant white smile.
Yes.
And so cute. He's so adorable. And we met him because he was following around John and Pat Flynn. He was their camera crew. He could be our camera crew for the low, low price of, I think, $500 a day.
That's not bad.
Num, num.
It's really not bad. All right. That wasn't Elsie. That was her evil twin,
Who
Chelsea.
Who said that?
So funny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Damn, that's
all right, so let's can we address a little bit of where you have been, lovely? Because you just went to a podcast up front, right? The
yes, was it I went to podcast up front. Yes, it's the podcast up front number 3. If you want to, maybe Elsie can put in the show notes what number episode last year's was, and you can hear me talking about
disaster
it was last year. I'm happy to report that they got their ish together and did a very impactful upfront where, first of all, I think they had the right audience. I think instead of the account reps, the advertisers sent somebody who, you know, could make decisions about advertising. Last year, every network basically did a sizzle reel, which talked about how fantastic their network was, and then paraded out a celebrity that had no tie to podcasting whatsoever. Most of them were famous in their own right, except for How Stuff Works. They had the chicks from Stuff You Missed in History Class, but every other network was like, it was like Adam Carolla and Shaq, Katie Couric, Jim Brewer, the model Emma. It was so dumb, kind of, because they were just like, hi, we have a podcast, yay, buy my podcast, bye. They couldn't say anything valuable about why it was good, what, you know, what impact it has, what return it has. Well, this year was different. Almost every network had ad reads and samples of ads that they've done and what effect it had on brands. So they talked about what's called a brand lift survey. Almost every network worked with Edison Research and talked about, like, okay, before this podcast ad, only 6% had a favorable opinion of the product. After this ad, 63% had a favorable opinion about this product. So it was like they could show actual results from sponsorships that were effective. And it was such a relief, I have to tell you. I mean, there were literally no celebrities there, but it was perfect. It was full on perfect. I would say that the one thing that didn't change from last year was that almost every network brought out some bullshit statistic that means nothing if you're a podcaster and tried to impress an advertiser with it. For example, the first one to do this was Kai Falkenberg, who's the first deputy commissioner in New York City in the Office of Media and Entertainment. And she said that New York City is the global headquarters of podcasting and the capital of the podcast industry. Why? Because podcasting has had 1.3 billion downloads from New York networks, and originally had 115 shows come out of New York, but now there's around 200 shows in New York City. And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, out of 400,000, big effing deal, Kai. She made no sense. Like, I was just like, and then like some of her other like statements were like this: who would have thought that New York City could sound so intimate? Oh my God, give me a fucking break. I know. The scarcest resource is human attention. Yet New York City is now getting, you know, helping you get certification in podcast making, which is the newest form of the oldest medium, storytelling. And I was like, okay, moving on. And then Prudential. And then to, you know, actually in comparison to that, Prudential, the VP of brand marketing and advertising, was being interviewed by I forget who about how they've gone from just sponsoring a show 10 years ago to now creating their own shows. And it was actually quite inspirational because what she said was that they aspire to be what's called a hero brand. Like, Prudential doesn't want to just like take your money. They want to inspire people. And she was like, so where can you start to inspire people? It starts with true human insight. So they have a show about bravery. I think it's Everyday Bravery or Average Bravery or something like that. And it's actually, we heard some clips and it was pretty amazing. But she also said something. She said, you know, I forget who the writer was, you know, the shortest distance between two people is a smile. So she said, and we feel that the shortest distance between a brand and an individual is a story. And I was like, that is fucking beautiful. As a marketer, I was like, that's beautiful, man. So true. You know, because you want, you know, it sounds like, Elsie, I can hear it already from North Carolina. I can hear your thoughts going, they still just want your fucking money. You know, like, but when brands aspire to touch your lives and make, there are companies out there. Yes, they need to market. And yes, there's marketing. But most, I feel that most of the brands that advertise on podcasts understand and really do want to make your lives better. Like, if you think about the brands that you hear all the time, like, ask yourself if you've ever experienced these brands. MailChimp, HelloFresh, Casper Mattress, Harry's Razors. Like, they don't just do podcast advertising because they think it's cool. Use those products and think about the whole customer experience and how it makes you feel. They really, really do care about making your life a little more fun and a little more cool while doing this. Like, just the whole concept of HelloFresh as a product is so cool. Like, they want your lives to be easier. Like, they will measure out your fish sauce and send it in a little fish container. Like, it's so cool. Casper Mattress, same thing. Like, they don't want you to go lay on a mattress everyone else is laid on. You just order it online, comes to your door. Like, they're trying to make your lives easier. And so hearing from a brand, like, in person that does that and their motivation behind it, like, I found that very inspiring. Some of the other bullshit, but I want to go back to that. Like, some of the bullshit stats. NPR said they had 67 million listeners a month. But I thought that the podcasting share of ear said that there were 67 million listeners, like, total, like, on the planet, like, in the country. Do you remember that? I can pull it up, Elsie.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact numbers and whatnot.
Let me just give you the statistic, because either they're taking credit for every listener or they're making assumptions based on their... Okay, here... I'm sorry. People who have ever listened to podcasts, 112 million. Monthly podcast listening, estimated 67 million. So that's where they got that number. They say they have 67 million listeners a month. Oddly, that's the same amount of all of them in the country.
Bullshit.
How?
Well, yeah. I think more on that, like, getting really, just not to say or take away from anything that you are saying, Miss Jessica, but also my co-host for the feed, Rob Walsh, VP of Podcaster Relations at Libsyn, and episode 103 of the feed really does go into this report, that because a lot of the facts or a lot of the data that is being stated here came from, like, the governor's report from the state of New York. And he kind of breaks it down almost line by line. And shows you what the actual data is versus how it was sourced, because there was a lot of information that wasn't really properly presented. You know, I mean, I don't know if they didn't really do their research or if they just framed it in a way that is all about New York, you know?
That's exactly, that's a perfect example, Elsie.
Thank you. But yes.
I loved that they had actual brand lift, like I said, stats, like all of them surveyed their listeners and learned, like NPR said, 86% of people prefer sponsor messages rather than pay for ad-free version. Listen, think about that for a second. 86% of people who listen to an NPR podcast said, I'd rather hear the ads than pay $5 to get rid of them. That's something. There's not that many other mediums that can say that. But, you know, then it's bullshit like we have 9 of the top 20 podcasts in PodTrack, which is, again, is like, who gives a fuck about that? Nobody. Or here's one I thought was interesting. Public media, PMM, public marketing media, public media marketing, whatever PMM is, they have the best read. Joe Rogan has the best reads of any podcast, the best ad reads of any podcast
that no one listens to.
Well, I mean, like, how do you measure that exactly? They said advertisers ask other shows to, they send them Joe's reads and say, do it like this, which is fine, but like, okay.
I hammer that 30-second button, that fast forward. When he starts his reads, I hammer that thing like it's a nail.
Podcast One said, we are worldwide experts when it comes to podcast research. Well, again, how do you know? You can't just make yourself, I'm a worldwide expert when it comes to podcast research.
No, I'm a worldwide expert when it comes to podcast.
I read all the things that are written worldwide. I mean, what makes you worldwide? How do they know they're worldwide? It's just like, where do you even come up with this shit? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So they were like, podcasting, this is my favorite part, Elsie. I tried to send you this screenshot, but I didn't get it in time. Podcasting is predominantly male, and we've been fighting against that. And I was like,
who said that?
Hold on. Podcast One. So I was like, wait a minute.
Get out of town.
I just realized what's happening. He's using sound bites.
That's her.
That was actually me.
That was actually you?
That was totally me.
It sounded like a... That's even funnier.
This show is a dumpster fire.
That was actually
now
me.
Now you have to keep that.
It was her.
Sound bites. Because I thought, well, if John's smart, he'll just use whatever he has from Elsie to respond to me. Please leave that in. That's so funny.
Okay, anyway.
Oh yeah. So, I can't even talk. So, yeah, he goes, podcasting is predominantly male. It's a male industry. So we're working on doing more female programming. And I'm like, where did he get this information? Because according to Libsyn, now almost half, if not full on half of all hosts are female.
Right.
That was like 4 years ago when it was like 13% male. So he goes, so we're going to start doing female programming. Then he pulls up 8 shows. All of them are either porn stars or positioned to look like Layla Ali. Like I'm not saying she, first of all, she's obviously not a porn star. Layla Ali is very respectable, but they have her all dolled up with as many eyelashes and mascaras that you could possibly. I mean, like I looked at the covers and I was like, not one of these women are being marketed for their brains right here.
Right.
And then it was like. She's like, and then at the end of it, they go, we're not just making podcasts. We're building a community.
Who said that?
It was the COO of podcast. Oh, no. Was that you?
That was me.
Jesus. It is a dumpster fire. It truly is. So, yeah. So I was like, they're building a community. And I was like, what does that even mean? Building a community for who? You didn't specify. Are you building a community of podcasters that love each other? Are you building a community for the rest of us to be a part of? Like, what are you saying? What are you saying? It doesn't make sense. Anyway, so those are my notes. I thought it went well. I learned a lot about some of the, so when we get to Weird and Wild, which we could technically do next, we can talk about some of the new shows that they announced, which are very cool. I took a lot of screenshots of new shows because you can't subscribe to them yet because they're coming out. Like off book, the one I was telling you about, Elsie. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Okay. So news. So now we could talk about Art 19. How much money did they get?
$7 million, I think. Something like that.
So a lot of the podcasters this month or last month got, or the podcasting companies all got more funding. Art 19 got $7.5 million. Gimlet got $5 million. Panoply, I think, got $15 million. They're all raised a crap ton of money, which is amazing. It means that they're pouring money into better technology, more content. I think one of the networks said they were launching 15 new shows over the next 12 months, 9 of which are happening in the next 90 days.
Well, does this piss anybody else off besides me?
It sounds like a piss off, Elsie. What?
Yeah, part of it is that, and I'm coming at from it from a completely different perspective here. The amount of money that's being poured into creating this type of content and supporting this sort of infrastructure is making me go nuts. Can you imagine how much money could be used to create the ability to connect with different communities, underrepresented communities, people who aren't getting this kind of stuff in the first
place. But they are doing that.
No, they're not. They are they are putting the money on creating technology to get more ads, to find
more
metrics.
Wait a minute, but you don't know that they're not creating content that is reaching undervalued.
No. I'm not talking about creating content because the content isn't the problem.
I'm saying the voices you're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about the voices either. No, I'm talking about actually expanding the education of what podcasting is for people who don't know what it is, which I feel is the biggest thing that people aren't doing. They're just going like, here, let's have another show and another show and another show. But they're not addressing the societal issues around that. They're not addressing the people that can't listen, that don't know what a podcast is in the first place. Right now, I've seen a couple of articles that have come out in the past couple of days where it has been a difference. Like Newsweek just covered podcasting in a very good way. It's the first time that I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy that you put this out. There was also an article that was really focusing in on Wow to the World or Wow in the World. It's a new podcast for kids from NPR that was also positioned very well for podcasting itself. I think that now if those companies really, really care about the medium, they're going to have to start to do advocacy for podcasting, not for their shows, not for that stuff, but for podcasting itself, to really tell society why it's so important, why it's so great.
I also learned at this podcast upfront that Time Inc. paid for a huge campaign in taxi, on subways, on street corners, like a huge campaign about podcasting, that all of a sudden their medium was being advertised all over New York City. I mean, it's not the world, but it's a start.
Yeah, it's a start. I want that money to go there. I want them to start to work in existing places where
known.
It really can really
if
help.
I hadn't gone to the upfront, if I hadn't gone to the upfront, we wouldn't even know they did that because we don't live there.
Right.
And they truly do think that that's like the whole world is New York City. Like, I mean, those commercials should be on national television, but they're not. They're local. It's a local buzz campaign just for New York.
I just wish
disappointing, but.
Well, all I'm saying is that I want that money. And like, if I were in a position, like, actually, you know what? That's what I would love to do, is to talk to the people who just got all that funding, to talk to the heads of the company, to talk to the CEOs and stop talking and really pitch the development of outreach for growing the industry, not by growing metrics and by growing more shows and by getting the stars, but by really reaching out to the
community. Why don't you write this article, send it to Nick Kwa or put it on Medium so they can read it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's my biggest thing right now, because the amount of money that's out there to even just, and you know how Podcast One said about building community? Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you talking about? How are you building this community? What type of resources are you giving your community? What exactly do you want them to do? Buy your products? Is that building community?
Mm-hmm. Listen, I want this article on my desk by Wednesday. I'll distribute it for you.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. This is just, that's Wednesday why I got mad. That's why I got angry with that, because there's so much money. They have so much influence and they're focusing their attention, I believe, in the wrong places to grow the medium. They're using their influence to influence things that don't really have anything to do with the growth of podcasting. They are positioning themselves to look really good and pretty for the people who are coming in with money, but they don't know what to do once they get with their money. It's like, oh, we got all this money. Let's just continue doing what we've already doing. And it's essentially recreating existing media models that haven't already been serving us. So why? It's sort of like essentially using the same sort of thought process of what worked with TV and radio, and they just continuing to do it in the way that they are comfortable with versus really addressing the way that this medium works and how it impacts our society.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll write it. I'll write it. Anyway, that's why I'm mad. But anyway, that's why I wrote those articles in there.
They're like a one-trick pony. They don't know how to do anything else but what they did in radio. It's failing. Now they're coming over here. And the thing is, they don't even understand podcasting. It's like we got so many podcasts in New York. Who cares? Yep. Podcasts are worldwide. They don't even realize what they have.
No, they don't care. They realize it, but they don't care. I've always tried to explain this. It's not a question of being recognized or not recognized. They don't see it as the same animal. They see what they're doing as something totally and full on separate. Like, they're raising funding and having upfronts. They're never going to include like the Noodle MX network because it's not corporate funded. Their networks are corporate funded. They're being created by, you know, people who have been in the media for 30 years or more. That's why, I mean, like, we're just hobbyists talking about something in their basement. Like, it's still in their head, the difference between having a YouTube show and a show on NBC. The only way to achieve success to their standard is to do a show that's professionally done, like a real television show. And they don't see what we do as real, I don't want to say real podcasts, but professional podcasts.
You were going to. I heard it.
They don't see it as professional.
I just hope they dump all this money in here, it crashes and burns, and they lose all their money, and they go play in somebody else's sandbox.
I don't hope that. Because think about all the shows that I've gotten advertising for that would have not had it otherwise had it not been for these guys. Think about Liz and Jonathan and Eric Fisher and Laura and it's not a lot of money, but it's paying for their editing services. It's paying for their, you know, their Libsyn pricing. Like, it's paying a little bit. It's something, you know, because it's an expensive hobby. But if it doesn't bring you a salary, that is really all it is. We know. I mean, and I don't mean to, I'm not putting down what we do or what anyone else does. But the definition of a business is to have a profit. And if it's not making you money, isn't it just a hobby? What is it?
Exactly. So I hope they dump all this money in here and they get their, you know, and then everybody says, oh my God. And then they just leave and go somewhere else. And then we can continue to do what we do. And it might not be built, you know, the same way that they do.
Let me clarify though, John, even though it's going to piss you off, your business is audio editing. Your podcast is a hobby though. This podcast is a hobby.
I understand everything. Okay. But what I'm saying is that they're going to come in here with all this and they're going to dictate terms and stuff like that. And we who come in here and have been building this up and, you know, putting our life and soul into it, they're going to dictate the terms. And I just, like I said, I don't like it. Okay. I just don't like it. And I see them dumping all this money in here and I see them doing a lot of things wrong. And I'm sure you do too. I don't know. Maybe I'm, you know, whatever. And then we'll see what happens. I can't wait to see what happens in 2 years.
I mean, it's so hard because having just seen all of their upcoming stuff, I know these people are passionate about creating content that makes you think, that makes you more compassionate, that makes you more educated, that makes you smarter. So it's hard for me to say, fuck those guys, because at least from what I saw yesterday, like they had finally the right idea.
I don't know. This just makes my, this whole, whenever Jess gets into this thing where these old guys are coming in there throwing all this money around, it just makes my blood boil. Like I'm over here biting my fingers.
But here's what I'm saying though. They really are invested in making amazing content. Yes, it is for the purpose of advertising, but that part isn't their job, you know? Like, yes, they did all these presentations yesterday for the purpose of collecting money, but their jobs on a day-to-day basis is just simply to make a good show. That's all they care about. There's 1, 2, 3 people's jobs in that company to collect the reward.
Okay.
But for the most part, Gimlet and How Stuff Works, like, they're very passionate about making people smarter and more compassionate and more, you know, and telling people's stories and making a difference in the world. And I find it's really hard for me to see that as a bad thing, even though I think what makes you and the collective podcast community upset is how much we struggle to do the same thing without the benefits of cash and a corporate backing and expensive talent at our fingertips and a big studio someone else has paid for. Like you especially, John, like you've cobbled together your studio with your own blood, sweat, and tears. You've done it piece by piece. You live with your, you know, you live above your studio. You've paid for everything yourself. Like, you know, you've built it up over a couple of years. And here Gimlet comes along, raises $5 million, and boom, there's another studio in LA. And boom, why don't we open one in Austin? And it's probably very annoying how easy it is for them when you're over here sweating your ass off just to, you know, just to get a new mic or a new stand or you know what I mean? Like, I know the struggle that we go through in comparison to them, but I don't want to vilify them simply because the goal is the same, even though it doesn't feel like it's the same. It's not like, oh, radio's not working, so we should go into podcasting. It's that, oh, this medium is better. People can download it when they want and they're more engaged and they actually like the ads. Like, oh, cool. That's awesome. How exciting. Look what we can do. But look, there's podcasting now. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about the content. I think it's cool. Let's do the Weird Wild Show of the Week so I can tell you about this one show that's so funny.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild. Show of the Week.
So yesterday at the Upfront, like I said, they did a bunch of presentations. My favorite one was Dexter Guff is smarter than you and you can be too. And basically, it's a hilarious parody of all the, what they started out by saying is, we took a look at podcasting and noticed that there are really, it's a huge lack in self-help and motivational shows. And like the advertisers like didn't get it at first, but those of us in the, like in the space were like, pa-ha-ha! You know, like it was so funny. And then, so they're like, and so we wanted to do, you know, there's just so few shows that are people telling other people what to do. And so we all start laughing and then it's like, so we wanted to create, you know, like, I mean, he never even said it was a parody. You could just tell because it was so ridiculous. This guy comes out and he calls himself, you know, like a motivationpreneur. And anyway, I'll let John play the intro, but I was rolling. It's like so many terrible podcasts all rolled into one. It's called Dexter Guff is Smarter Than You. Hit it, John.
Hey, everybody. Dexter Guff here. I want to take a second and introduce myself and my brand new podcast from Panoply Media, Dexter Guff is Smarter Than You, and You Can Be Too. It's a self-empowerment podcast where I share with you my proven strategies to help you live an amazing life exactly like mine, except it's yours.
I became a millionaire doing something that I was completely unqualified to do.
Sounds like exactly my story, but a little bit different. But a lot of parts are kind of the same.
We also need to create bubbles within our own cells, within our own thought processes.
Not in our veins. That's dangerous.
No, that will kill you.
Before I tell you about the podcast, I want to do something really cool and tell you about me. Yeah.
Conference of the year. This is going to be fun.
In 2014, I self-published my first book, How to Steal Someone Else's Passion. That book skyrocketed to the top of the New York Post bestsellers list. I'm the only guy to ever make Fast Company's 30 Under 30 at the age of 42. And if you listen to my show, I'll tell you how I did it. I'm a lifestyle entrepreneur who this year alone had 314 speaking engagements.
I can't stress enough how important the 15-minute workday is. More than 15 minutes and you're just wasting your time. That's work that someone else can do.
Before I tell you anything more, I've been talking for about a minute and a half uninterrupted, which means it's time for me to take a sponsor break.
This is the best part, right?
This podcast teaser is brought to you by Springbox. Everybody's got a mattress, but what they really need is a box spring. Springbox is the only online box spring mattress company that delivers a box spring in a box to your door an hour after ordering. That's right, 1 hour. You can try it out for 3 years, and if you don't think you're sleeping better, okay. Springbox, what goes under your mattress?
All right, wow. Stop. It's so ridiculous. I mean, it is so ridiculous, but I mean, so many similarities into the shows that are out there. That's why I just thought it was so funny. I think his first episode is out, but
yeah, it is. And I'll tell you what, you know how funny? Okay, so you sent it to me. So I'm like half paying attention. I'm like, what's this? Let me listen to it. So I start listening to it. I listened to that. And then I listened to halfway through the first episode and I was furious with this guy. I'm like, he's not, this has got to be, this is ridiculous. Who would listen to this? He's not saying a thing. And then I read and find out it's a parody of all these shows. And then I couldn't stop laughing. But
but I love how it was making your blood boil for like a good 5 minutes.
Absolutely. When I heard the thing about Springbox, I said, how can I get a box spring to your house in an hour? I can't even get a pizza.
Can you guys just imagine John going, what the f*** did she send me? What is this? Who is this schmuck?
I was about ready to
who
go give
guy
him,
think she is?
I was about ready to go give him a 1-star review in iTunes.
So you didn't get the hint when he said, it's exactly like my story, but a little different, but kind of the same? That didn't tip you off?
I'm telling you, I started listening to it and my head cocked and I'm like, is this guy for real? Is this a thing? I'm like, he's a scam. I'm like, this guy's got to be a scam artist or something. And who would listen to this? And then, you know, then I'm like, I got to listen to the first episode. So the first episode's even more ridiculous. And then I'm like, wait a minute. And I shut it off and I read the show notes. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Now I feel like a dope. But no, it is. It's hysterical. And if you...
That just goes to show you how accurate that shit really is.
But the production in it is unbelievable. The music and the way he does things. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing production. And, you know, now that I hear it, I have to listen to the rest of it. So it's good.
The intro, yeah, like the promo, that was, I think, the first... I don't know if that was the promo of the first episode, but I love the music behind him. Is like, sounds like y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Yeah, it's all high energy and pump it up, and we're gonna do this right now.
It's
yeah,
funny. I just remembered that when they introduced him and he finally came out, he turns to the guy and he goes, "That introduction, a little less than what I expected. You didn't go through the full CV. You didn't do the deep dive, but that's okay. It's cool." And he's like, so I'm going to do what I love to do. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. So funny. But also, like, he presents and talks that way. Like, while he was being interviewed yesterday, he talked that way the whole time.
That's got to be tiring.
I mean, it's tiring just imitating it. Try it. It's exhausting. Well, that's all I wanted to share for today. I know Elsie has to run and we have to run. This weekend's podcast, Mid-Atlantic. So we're going to see everybody there and I got to go get ready. And I know John does too. So thank you guys so much for listening. Again, please check out sameboxcom/CP. Also, I want to thank John, our editor, audioeditingsolutions.com for all his brilliant work today and every day on She Podcasts. You can find us at shepodcast.com. Check out the show notes. Also, you can check us out on Twitter at She Podcast, Facebook at She Podcast, and also Facebook.com/group/She Podcasts. Elsie, if you're still here, thank you so much for being here today and for giving it your all as usual.
Here.
Oh, good.
I know. I am here.
Do you have anything you want to end with? Or
no, it's, we're good. Nope.
Love you.
Mean it.